Good morning. It's really good to see the fine number that we have out today, and we welcome any that are visiting. We're always glad to have you in our midst and hope that you'll come back anytime that you're able to be with us in our worship and study today of the Word of God. I appreciate already the songs that we have sung and how well they fit into what we're going to talk about, especially the last one, What Shall It Profit? I want to talk to you about what you value most in life. What is the most important thing to you? With every one of us, there is no question that we have things in our life that are very, very important to us. Things that we would be willing to die for. And that may be, you know, a relationship. It may be a person that we would give our lives for. It may be some possession. You know, most all of us have certain things that are very valuable. Again, as this song we've just sung teaches us, our soul is worth more than all of the world. But not everyone sees that. In fact, not everyone even recognizes that they have a soul. But you know, even God treasures things. That's certainly taught to us in the other song that we sang about how deep the Father's love. And that tells us how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. That He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. So God treasured saving us and saving our soul above saving what His Son had to go through and endure on the cross. He was willing to give the life of Jesus to save our souls. Now that shows that He treasures that very highly. So I want you to think with me about what is the most valuable thing in your treasure chest. And we began by thinking about the fact that all of us have a treasure chest. And by that I mean in our hearts, in our minds, there are things that we put value on. And so it's like inside we have this treasure chest that we store up things that to us are very valuable. You know, there are little things that may mean nothing to anyone else. But even the sentimental value to us, we would say sometimes they're priceless. And we wouldn't take anything for them. Or we collect things through the years that, you know, tend to be very important to us. And yet, in the end, these things may really have no value at all to someone else. So what is it that you're putting in your treasure chest? What is the most important thing to you? Where your treasure is, Matthew 6:21 says, there your heart will be also. This treasure chest is inside our heart. It tells a lot about us. What is important to us? Where we put our emphasis, what we're willing to spend and be spent for. This is something that tells us that our affections are going to be with what we treasure, what we value. Now, thinking about this and the value of God's church or kingdom, we find in Matthew 13, verse 44, this, where He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Now, you know, from the time that we're young and we're kids, we read stories about treasure chests and treasure maps. And it's something that we, you know, put a lot of interest in sometimes. And maybe even as children, we get all into the idea of finding a treasure map and searching for treasure. Well, this is what this parable really is about. That the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. Hidden to many, not really seen or understood. People will overlook it or not see its value, and it is hidden to them. But He said, when a man found it, he hid it, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, what that's telling us is this man found something that to him was worth selling everything else that he had in order to attain it, in order that he could have it. Now think about that. This is talking about how much one is willing to sacrifice for what he considers to be very valuable. Is there something like that in your life that you'd give everything you've got for in order to hold on to it or to have it? You know, it could be even, let's say, our physical health. If you found out that you had a severe health issue, and in order to get the treatment that you needed, you were going to have to sell your house, you were going to have to empty your bank account, would you be willing to do that to save your life? Most individuals would. And that's kind of what this is talking about. This man was saying, I found something here that I've got to sell everything I have. I have to have this. This is more valuable than everything else that I have. You see, when you're willing to sell things and give away things or get rid of things to hold on to something, you're saying this is more valuable to me than anything else that I have. That's really what he is telling us here about the kingdom of heaven. And he repeats it in verse 45 with another illustration. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Here's one that goes out and he buys pearls. Again, assume you have a business where you sell pearls and you go and you collect them and turn them into jewelry. And he says he seeks beautiful pearls, and when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. This man comes across a pearl like none other he had ever seen. An amazing pearl of tremendous price. But in order to have it, he had to sell everything in order to buy it. Now he's saying that's how great the kingdom of heaven is. If it's pearls or if it's something else, and you come across it and you realize that this is what it takes to have it, I'll sell everything I have in order to have this. Is this the place the kingdom of heaven holds in your life? Do you see the value in the kingdom of heaven or in the church of our Lord? How much did Jesus value the church? Well, he thought it, again, was worth the ultimate price. He thought it was worth dying for. He thought it was worth going to the cross, shedding his blood on the cross, and enduring all of the suffering and the shame and going through all of that. Jesus shed his blood to buy the church. Again, he thought it was quite valuable. But when it comes to the value that, let's say, the average person who is not a Christian or the average person in the world, what kind of value do they place on the kingdom? There are those who see it as deeply something that they are very much interested in, something that is of great value. Obviously, you have placed some value on God's kingdom. You're a Christian. You're taking time this morning to come out and to worship God on a day when there are probably a number of other things you could do or might even like to do. And there are plenty of people in the world that do not have that interest. Others consider God's kingdom and worshiping Him of really little or no value at all. In fact, some would say that it's just a complete waste of their time. And they don't really see any value or anything that they get out of it. So again, it depends on the individual. And again, this treasure is hidden to some. Now, understand that the real value of the kingdom of heaven is the same whether you realize it or not. It's not going to change the value of it because of what one person or the other sees in it. It is what it is, but some will understand its value and others not. But isn't that true about many things in life? Some people will sell something worth $100,000 on a yard sale for a dollar and a half. They don't know its value. And they estimated a very little value. Others know what it is and they know its value, and they would be willing to pay much more for it. And so it's kind of like this when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. Some will support it. Some are willing to sacrifice for it, like that merchant of pearls or the man that finds the hidden treasure in the field. He'll sell everything he's got in order to have it. What would it take for you to sell your faith, to give up being a Christian, to stop worshiping God, stop taking the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Are these things valuable to you? Or are they of great importance to you? Are you deeply interested in them? Will you support it? Will you sacrifice for it? And if so, how far? These are things we need to ask ourselves, where others say, I wouldn't give much at all for that. It has no value to me. I have other things that I need to do with my time that I consider much more important than that. And maybe it's even things you know, like golfing and fishing or recreation, entertainment, or just more sleep. I'd rather do that than attend a Bible study. What are they saying by that? Really doesn't mean that much to me. It's not that important to me. Certainly nothing I would shed my blood for. Nothing I would die for. So it's very interesting for us to think about the true value of the kingdom of heaven. What is it really worth? Well, when we go to the Word of God, we learn that according to what Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, seeking the kingdom of God above all else in my life will bring to me even temporal blessings in this life. Look at what Jesus taught the multitude in Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning there in verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Now, you want to talk about things that people get interested in. And, you know, the closer we get to lunchtime, the more we get interested in what are we going to eat? And these are things that are very important to us on a regular daily basis. Jesus says, don't worry about these things. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What should you worry about? What should you focus on? Where should your attention be? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. What should occupy your mind? What should be the most important thing to you is serving God, seeking His kingdom above everything, even above the basic necessities of life. And He's saying that I will take care of those. I will add these things to you when you get your priorities right and in order. And not only does He tell us that that we find temporal blessings to take care of our bodies in this world, but He promises spiritual blessings that are much greater. And just as we were singing the song that was teaching us about the soul of man being worth more than anything else that we have, whether we realize it or not, the spiritual blessings of God are much greater than food, clothing, and shelter. And the food, clothing, and shelter that we have will take care of us for a little while in this world and give us what is needed to get by in our bodies. But the blessings of the soul will last eternally. They're so much greater. Look in Ephesians chapter 1 and read there beginning with me in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This is like the treasure map. This is like telling me where these great and valuable blessings are found. They are in Jesus Christ. And in this map, He tells me how to get into Jesus Christ, where the blessings are found. But in verse 4, He said, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Here's one of those rich spiritual blessings. We can be holy again. We can stand before God without blame in Christ. The one that died for us, we can die with Him, be buried with Him in the act of baptism, put off the old man of sin, and stand before God truly holy. Do you know the value of that? Gold and silver, all of the gold in Fort Knox, cannot remove one sin from your life. But the blood of Christ will remove all of them. Do you know the value of that? Worth more than any other possession that you might own. And then He goes on to say in verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. He's trying to get us to see how great God's grace really is, what it is really worth. But if you were to see the average person on the street and you were to offer them $1,000 bill or the grace of God, which do you think they would choose? Do they understand? Do they see the riches of the grace of God? And then in verse 11, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. This is the lasting nature of God's spiritual blessings. We will receive an inheritance that is eternal, that will never fade or pass away. All of this is found by being in God's kingdom, being in His church, finding these spiritual blessings. And so it provides blessings for this life, taking care of physical needs for our bodies. It prepares us for death, takes away the fear of it, the sting of it, and then it prepares us for that inheritance in the world to come. There are several verses here that teach us these things. When you look at John chapter 10, and reading there first in verse 10, he says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now think about that. Life with Jesus is more abundant. And he really is not talking about just physical life. He wasn't coming just so we could have everything physically we wanted in this world, and that it would be an abundant life here. Now, he will bring a better life here, but the ultimate goal of Christ is eternal life. 2 Peter chapter 1, and there in verse 11, he says, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." In other words, being in God's kingdom and enjoying it and focusing on it is more than just being a Christian while I'm here in this world. We're working for something far more better than this, far greater than this, that we have not yet received, but we hope for, we long for, and we work for. And that's what He is promising that comes to those who seek first the kingdom of God in their life, those willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God in their life. Look at Romans, the 8th chapter, and there in verse 38. "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now once again, where is it at? Where all spiritual blessings are found. In Christ Jesus our Lord. And what is it? The love of God. What is it worth? How great is it? It is beyond all measure, beyond anything we can truly grasp or understand. And it's going to supply to us an entrance into an everlasting kingdom. And life cannot stop that. Death cannot stop that. That's what he's saying. We cannot be robbed of our inheritance by dying physically, but only by dying spiritually. Only when we do not recognize the value of the kingdom of God and give it the value in our lives that it should have. Read with me 1 Corinthians 15, and there beginning in verse 50. "Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." We're not going to inherit this eternal kingdom in these physical bodies, Paul is saying. We have to leave this body. We have to die. He said, "I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Even those that, in other words, that remain alive until the time that Jesus returns have to be changed. They can't go to that eternal world in these physical bodies. And so he said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We don't have to fear it. It cannot rob us of our goal, of our home in heaven, unless we allow it to. He said, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" The sting of death is sin. What makes death bad for us, what will rob us of our eternal home, is dying physically while in sin. That's the real sting in death. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's telling us, what do we get in Christ? We get blessings for this life. We get power to face death unafraid, knowing that in Christ, in our Lord, we can overcome it, and we overcome the sting of it, and we gain the eternal blessings of God in the world to come. The effect that this should have on us is seen then in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Remember how I said there are many that would say labor in the Lord is totally in vain, has no value. They place no importance at all on it. They have no interest in attending services, no interest in worshiping God, singing praises to Him, studying His Bible or His Word. And yet He's saying, this is not in vain. This works for us now and forever. But it's up to us to find this hidden treasure, to realize that in Christ, we're working for a mansion in our Father's house. This is what we get by being in God's kingdom and serving Him faithfully. John, the 14th chapter, beautiful passage, the first three verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Try to picture that in your mind. There are some beautiful mansions in this world in different locations. But I have a feeling that none of them can begin to compare with what is being described in this verse. In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many mansions. He had come from that house, and He's describing what He knows. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm not telling you something that isn't true, that is a lie. I'm not trying to deceive you. I go to prepare a place for you. Christ was leaving them behind. He knew the sadness that they would experience because of that, but He wanted them to know why He was going and what He was going to be doing. And Jesus said, I'm going and I'm going to prepare a place for you to come. If I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow, what a promise. Where I am, in my Father's house, where there are many mansions, you may be there. I will prepare the way and prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and take you home with me. You see the value? You see how that this is something worth sacrificing everything else you have for? That's what we ought to see in these promises. A place where treasures that are stored can never be destroyed, can never be stolen or taken from us. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and read with me there in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. What is really secure in this world? What do you have that you value that cannot be stolen, cannot decay, cannot rust, cannot pass away? If you can hold it in your hands, it's corruptible. Whatever investment you think is safe, we learn over time, can evaporate overnight. No wonder those that put all their trust and their confidence and their wealth in the Great Depression were jumping out of buildings. They'd lost everything. Everything they'd ever worked for, everything they really valued. Is that where we'll be one day? Think about the value. Think about the security. When you store up your treasures in heaven and you focus on that and that's what matters to you more than anything else, no one can take that from you. No stock market crash is going to cause it to go away. No bad investment decision no one's stealing it, not having it corrupt or rust or decay and just not be worth anything anymore. This is the value we're talking about of the kingdom of heaven. We don't have to wonder how much we really do value the kingdom of heaven. Just look at the personal choices and decisions we make every day. Someone will always tell you what value they put on something by their decisions, their choices. If you're wondering about how important you are to another person, then just ask yourself how much time and attention you get from those that you're wondering about. How much they really value that relationship. How often do they talk with you, communicate with you? How often do we find here again them showing by their actions? They have an interest. And so the choices we make, how much time and effort we spend on things, also shows how much we truly value these things. One that understands and knows what we've been talking about in regard to the value of the kingdom of heaven will sacrifice greatly in order to obtain it. You'd be willing to sell all, again, including your life. That's what John was talking about in Revelation 2 and verse 10 to Christians in the first century when he said, "Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer." He said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life." How far should I go in sacrificing for the kingdom? Giving everything. Giving your life? Is there anything that is greater to you than your life? Well, your soul is. But are you willing to give your life to save your soul? You know, some are not. Some would not do that. But when you understand what it's for and that you're not losing that life, you're actually saving it because you found the hidden treasure, you'd be willing to do that. You'd be willing to die before you'd give up your faith. It's that important, that valuable to you. It'll become first in priority, just as we were commanded in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. We know what first means. We know when someone else is putting us first or not. We understand that exactly. Are we doing that with God and the kingdom of God? Is it that valuable to us? And we will illustrate this by our attendance. We'll show that we consider it valuable. Because we're not going to let less trivial things stand between us and serving God and being faithful. And attendance is nothing more than a barometer of how much we value this kingdom, how important it is to us. And the same thing with the interest. It starts with attendance, but that's only the beginning. How much time and attention do I give daily in my life to thinking about God and spiritual things? You know, if there's someone that you love with all of your heart, and they just are all consuming in your love for them. How many days are you going to go by and not think about them? Not talk to them? Not be engaged with them? Now, if you love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, how many days will you go without talking to Him? Or listening to His Word? Or being interested in the kingdom? Being involved? Being a part of what's going on? Your interest, your love will make it where you absolutely must be involved. Not because you have to, but because of the love, the value that you have. In fact, you will put the kingdom of God and serving God above everything else in life when it is number one in your heart. And this is exactly what He demanded of us and deserves no less. He made it very clear in Matthew 10:37. He says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." There have been many people who have compromised their faith and their so-called service to God based on what family members thought or taught. They sacrificed and compromised God's truth in order to accommodate family members, and they really prove that in the end they love family members more than God and more than the love of God or the Word of God. And He said, if that happens, you're proving I'm not number one. You're proving that it's a mother or father or a son or a daughter, or maybe your own life also. Because he goes on to say, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 39, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Are we willing to lose our very life for his sake? And there are two ways of giving our life, either literally to die for our faith, or as Paul describes, daily sacrificing our will to submit ourselves completely and totally under the will of God. How much do we love him? How much do we really value him? In the end, when we love him as we should, we will not put off obeying the gospel. We will be like those on the day of Pentecost who learned the truth. They saw the value. For the first time, they discovered this Jesus of Nazareth really was the Son of God. We put him to death. He was God's Son. And then they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter and the other apostles said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins." And then the verse says, they gladly received his word and were baptized. If you, for the first time, realize that what we've been talking about this morning is real treasure, greater than any you have ever discovered in your life, greater than any and everything else you own or have in your life, and you simply must have a relationship with God and the forgiveness of sins, it can be yours. But if you see that and understand that, you're not going to delay. You're not going to put it off. Ask yourself this question. What will happen to the treasure which you treasure the most the day you die? You know, one of these days, you're going to leave everything behind that you have now. Yes, my 65 Mustang cannot go with me. And all the little things that we, you know, put in those boxes, and they're mementos, and we've had them, and we, you know, they hold value to us. The day I die, they're not mine anymore. All the jewelry I wear will not be mine anymore. Whatever clothing I have, whatever automobiles I may have, whatever houses I'm living in now, one day will not be mine any longer, nor will they matter to me any longer. You see, if you put all the emphasis on all of these physical material things, you are going to leave them. Then what? If you have not stored up treasure in heaven, if you have not then sought first the kingdom of God, where are you going to be? What are you going to have left? It's important for us to understand. It's kind of like the statement Jesus made in Luke 12:20 to the rich fool who had put everything on nothing but his crops and his barns. And Jesus said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Then who shall these things be? Whose will they be? Not yours. But you now can today be storing up treasure in heaven. It's your choice. And that will last. And no one can take it from you. No one can steal it. It will not decay. It will not pass away. It'll be there for you to enjoy forever. If you're not a Christian, make the right choice today. See the treasure that he's offering unto you. And obey while we stand and sing to encourage you.